time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, as Dave Hansen exits, we have another regular from the Weekend Morning Show. Gordon Goldsborough is here with Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, remind us of the hint from last week.
Well, I said that if you had thought 100 years ago about buildings that were a vital part of the business district of rural towns in Manitoba, you would find that those buildings were now struggling or, in fact, were gone.
So what are we talking about? Should I guess?
There you go. Make a guess.
A general store.
Well, that's a very good answer. In fact, we will be talking about general stores in a future episode, but I was thinking of hotels.
Okay, a hotel.
Yeah.
A place to spend the night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of small towns, though, as a destination for people to go and spend the night.
Well, their function has evolved over the last 100 years. So, yes, today we wouldn't necessarily think of them as a feature of small towns in Manitoba. But 100 years ago, that was definitely not the case.
So where do we start?
Well, if you look at the layout of many rural towns, and particularly in southern Manitoba, you'll see that they're a creature of the railway. You know, the railway came through, and all of the streets of the town basically affront the railway on either side of it. And all the major businesses of the town would actually be on the road that immediately faced the railway. So the idea was that if you were traveling around Manitoba by train, you would get off the train. And of course, what would you see? Right ahead of you would be all of the various businesses. So, you know, let's say, for example, I was a traveling salesman, you know, and I was going from town to town selling my wares. Well, I'd get off at one town. I would go around and visit the various businesses in town, trying to interest them in my products, maybe go to the homes door to door. And then, of course, I wouldn't be able to take the train because there was perhaps only one train that day. So I'd have to stay the night and then catch the next day's train to go on. So I need a bed. I probably need a meal. So there's what the hotels catered to, that traveling public.
So what happens if the provincial road network improved?
Well, the fact that I was no longer beholden to the railways to get from place to place, I could now get in my car. I could drive these new highways that were developing. And as a result, I didn't need to have a hotel in every little town along the way. So instead, these hotels began to realize, well, they couldn't just cater to the traveling public. They needed to cater to the local residents perhaps as much. So they became kind of the social center of the community. For instance, they would have a coffee shop, you know, and people would descend on the coffee shop in the morning and, you know, have a chit chat. They would provide meals. Of course, not everybody wants to make meals all the time. So they'd come to the hotel for meals. And I think maybe more recently, it's become a public venue for the consumption of alcohol. You know, certainly by the 1950s, many of these hotels, probably most of them, had what they called a beverage room where men, and it was exclusively men in those days, could come and have a nice drink. And, you know, on a hot summer day, you can go have a nice cold beer.
So was their function as a hotel still maintained?
Well, there's the rub, yes. Even though the function as a hotel itself was waning, people weren't staying in the hotel, provincial law decreed that they still must maintain a hotel function. I suppose the rationale was that if you got a little bit too inebriated, you needed a place to kind of, you know, spend the night. And so by law, hotels were required to maintain at least 3 hotel rooms. Now, they didn't necessarily lavish attention on these hotel rooms, but they had to have at least a place where people could spend the night.
How did these rural hotels cope with the changes in demand for them?
Well, they had to, of course, introduce a lot of other sort of innovations to bring in customers. You know, so, for example, many of them would have television sets and later big video screens to, you know, they could show sporting events. And so you'd come and watch the game and drink at the same time. Many of them would have live music. You know, they'd at least on the weekends, they'd have a band. And then, of course, you'd go and listen to the band and, of course, again, drink. They would have lunch or dinner specials. I mean, I remember as a teen going around to some of the small country hotels and they would have like an all-you-can-eat buffet at lunch. And of course, that was really appealing for me as a hungry teen. They would have depots, you know, the bus depot, the bus would stop there. And so if you had a package to send, or if you were taking the bus to go somewhere else, you'd go to the hotel to get the bus or courier service. And then I think one of the innovations that some people might remember are the strippers. I'm told by some people anyway, I can't speak from personal experience, but they were very, very popular. But then I think most notably in 1991, hotels got the right to have video lottery terminals, you know, gaming. Mm. And that became a major source of business for them as well.
How are hotels in rural Manitoba doing now?
Well, I've heard various rumors, but the one statement I've heard from a group of hotel owners is that they feel the industry in general is in crisis. And in fact, over the last 10 years or so, at least 11 of the hotels in rural Manitoba have closed. I say at least because I couldn't find good statistics on it, but I say I found at least 11 of them that had closed in the last 10 years.
You have two examples in specifically that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I thought it'd just give people a sense of kind of what these safe spaces were. So I'll start with Binscarth in western Manitoba. In 1904, a three-story brick building was opened, and it was called the Royal Hotel. It operated for about 50 years, and then in the 1960s, well, it kind of went through two interesting changes. One is that it lost a floor. And that's kind of weird because I always think of buildings as gaining a floor. I mean, if you need more room, why would you lose a floor? I couldn't find out. Maybe there was a fire perhaps where it was damaged, or maybe they just decided they didn't need the space. They'd take off a floor. I don't know. The other major change, it was renamed the 580 Hotel. And I don't know what that means. I found out. And it turns out that in the early 60s, one of the Winnipeg radio stations was trying to get some rural town to rename itself after the radio station's call letters. And of course, as you might imagine, they didn't get any takers. But what they did get was a hotel that was willing to change its name to the radio frequency, the AM radio frequency of this radio station. So it became the 580 Hotel. And it carried on until 2008. And as near as I can tell, checking with friends at Binscarth, they tell me that it was around 10 years ago that it closed. And the building is sitting empty. Although when I went by a couple of years ago, it looked like maybe someone was living in it, like it was a private residence. But it's a big building. You know, I don't think they would probably be using all of it by any means.
What causes the hotels to close?
Well, there's a whole series of reasons, and I came up with, and just thinking about it, at least seven things that I can think contribute to it. So certainly one of them is rural depopulation. You know, there are fewer local patrons. It means there is fewer people to patronize the restaurant, the beverage room, the gaming machines. So, of course, there's less revenue. Of course, as we said before, the better highways means that it's easier to drive to a larger center where there are more hotels with better amenities, probably better maintained hotels, you know, if you were spending the night. Local competition. I mean, there are, of course, lots of places now that there's bed and breakfasts, you know. And if, for example, a few years ago, I was staying in the Russell area and I stayed in a wonderful old farmhouse from 1912. Beautiful place to spend the night, a better place than perhaps the seedy hotel in the local town. Lack of maintenance. Of course, they were required by law to maintain these hotel rooms, but I don't think they say they put a lot of effort into it. So these hotel rooms were pretty basic. You know, and why would you want to stay in a hotel room that hasn't been used in years? You know, it might not be very appealing. You know, changing attitudes about drinking. Of course, today we are much more mindful about the evils of, you know, drinking and driving. And so I think, by extension, the present generation just isn't as interested in going out and drinking. Well, if you're going to drink, you maybe just drink at home with your friends. In 2004, there was an indoor smoking ban imposed. So now, you know, you go into a bar and it used to be a very smoky place. You'd come home and your clothes would just reek. Well, now, you know, there's less reason for people going who want to smoke, you know, to go there. And then I think finally, and this is what the hotel owners point to today, the declining revenue. You know, so for instance, they were very popular places to go and buy a case of beer. And they get a portion of the sale price of that beer, and it amounts to about 17% of the beer price. Well, if you look at retail outlets of other kinds, they typically get anywhere from 30 to 40% of the price. So the fact that the provincial government takes their cut means that the amount that the hotel gets is very small. And then the VLTs, the video lottery terminals, the hotels get 22%. By comparison, Legions get 25%. First Nations get 90%. So, you know, the hotel owners feel that they're just not getting a big enough share. So the net result is they get fewer revenues, they have fewer patrons, and it just means their whole business model is called into question.
What impact does the closure of a hotel have on a small community like this?
Well, you know, I think it's just one more blow to the local economy. You know, after you've lost other stores, you know, of course, you might lose your school, you lose your churches. You know, the cohesion of the community is lost, and before long, the whole community is gone. You know, many of these towns that are losing their hotels, I wouldn't be surprised that in the not-too-distant future, the town itself is going to be gone altogether.
Gordon, thank you so much for this week. What's the hint for next time?
Well, listeners are aware of my fixation with one-room schoolhouses. Next week, I'm going to talk about another building that was frequently found in association with these schools.
Great. Gordon, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.